much. May I say that that has meant...
The BBC presents A Life of Bliss. Being the biography of a bachelor with Diana Churchill, Colin Gordon, Sheila Sweet, Una Venning and Percy Edwards. Another chapter in the life of that shy young man, David Alexander Bliss, known to us as George Cole. David and his married sister Anne start a moving story.
Coming.
Hello, Anne.
Oh, so it's you, Poppet. Come along in.
Just popped in to say hello.
You're always welcome, and this evening, particularly welcome.
I say, that's jolly nice of you. Particularly?
Particularly.
Why, what do you want me to do?
Now, what makes you think I want you to do something for me? You have got a suspicious nature. In here, go on. In you go.
Oh, Tony home yet?
Not yet, no. Sit down and make yourself comfortable. I'll get you a cushion for your back. There you are. And here's the evening paper. Would you like something to drink? Orange squash? A nice cup of coffee? A sandwich, perhaps? I know. Have a chocolate.
There's no doubt about it. I have got a suspicious nature.
Terribly.
I know. I ought to be ashamed of myself. What do you want me to do?
When Tony comes in, just casually mention...
Ah, so I was right. You did want something.
Naturally. Why else would you be so welcome?
Silly of me.
Like another cushion? Another chocolate, then.
You casually mention...
That the Bainbridges are selling their house. And let me know how he reacts. I went round there to tea once, and it's the perfect house for us.
Well, what's to stop you mentioning it?
I remember the last time I spoke to him about moving.
Why, what happened?
It was the last time we spoke for a week.
I see.
But then he could hardly lose his temper with you. And anyway, all I want you...
Anne.
What?
The evening paper, cushion, and I'll repay the chocolate later. In other words, no.
You went past there today, noticed the house was for sale... And happen to know how nice it is inside. Now, what could be easier?
Nothing. I suppose even I could manage. Inside? Why, I've never been near the place. I don't even know where it is.
Lawnville Avenue, and Tony's never been inside either.
Now, look, Anne, what's the point? You'll have to tackle him yourself sooner or later.
Yes, I know. And that is the point.
What?
I want to choose my moment. Tackling a husband's rather like, well, like boiling an egg. Simple enough, but the timing's all important. Get that wrong and they can be perfectly horrid.
Well, I see. In a moment, Tony can be like that.
Oh, gracious, yes. Anything from terribly sticky to plain hard-boiled.
Well, in that case, the solution's obvious. Note the time when he comes in and wait 3.5 minutes. What's more, in his case, that ought to be long enough, remembering the old expression.
Expression?
He's a good egg.
Not if you crack in the wrong way.
Well, I'd only get him addled.
I might catch him on the raw.
No use arguing with a woman.
Then you'll do it?
No alternative. That's if you're sure he's never been inside the house.
Never, I promise you.
Well, jolly good. I'll have first crack.
Oh, David, I should ask him if he's had a good day at the office first. If he hasn't, forget the whole idea.
But if he has?
It's safe enough to carry on. I'm awfully grateful. I don't know how I can repay you.
I'll have another chocolate. Oh, and Anne, the cushion, and the evening paper... I wouldn't mind a cup of coffee. Oh, dear, joke over.
It's a beautiful house, spacious rooms, lovely and light, that sort of thing. But don't forget, make sure
he... He's had a good day at the office. If so, safe to carry on. Casually, of course.
Bless you. I must go and cope with the children. Oh, hello, darling.
Hello, yeah.
I'm just going to cope with the young. David's here.
All right. Hello, David, old man.
Hello, Tony. Had a good carry on at the office?
Had a what?
Had a good day at the house. At the office.
Yes, interesting. 3 bites at the cherry. Yes, I have. Excellent.
Oh, jolly safe. Jolly good. Oh, I'm sorry. I've got your chair. There you are. Yeah. I'll get your cushion for your back. And the evening paper. Would you like one of Anne's chocolates?
No, thanks. Anything on your mind?
No, nothing. You sure you won't have a cashew? Won't have a chocolate?
I never eat them.
Well, I think I will. Mmm, it's delicious. Oh, by the way, Tony, I happened to pass there today, and guess what? The Bainbridges' house is for sale. I must say, it's jolly nice inside.
The chocolate?
No, the house.
Oh.
It's in Lawnville Avenue.
Lawnville Avenue, eh? Yeah, I was along that way yesterday. Let me see, the Bainbridges. Oh, yes, that's the house hidden behind all those trees, isn't it?
Yes, that's the one.
No.
No what?
No trees. Low shrubs.
Good gracious, no wonder I could see over the top. I mean, I believe you're right. Of course, I've only been inside once.
But you were impressed?
Well, obviously. Otherwise, I wouldn't remember it all so clearly. Such beautiful rooms, large and spacious.
Especially the drawing room.
Oh, yes. That's especially large. And how do you know?
I've been inside, too.
You have?
Once, yes. Why, did Anne tell you I hadn't?
Well, she not only told me, she promised. Promised to tell you all about it.
Purely as a matter of interest or because she has hopes of moving?
Purely interest, as far as I know. Oh. You must admit it's a lovely house. Especially that drawing room.
It's rather an unusual shape, sort of... how would you describe it?
Well, to tell you the truth, I can't picture it now.
Oh, but surely you remember it all so clearly.
Remember it clearly? Me, with my memory? I wouldn't say that.
But you did say it.
I did?
A moment ago.
Well, it sure shows you what a shocking memory I've got. I mean... Let me think. The shape of the drawing room. Ah, yes. It's sort of. How would you describe it?
I'm asking you.
L-shaped?
Describes it perfectly.
It does?
Perfectly.
Oh, gosh.
Lucky guess.
You're right, it was. Guess?
Had enough yet?
I don't know what you mean.
That you've never seen the place in your life and that Anne put you up to this.
Whatever makes you think that?
I'm wrong?
Well, yes.
All right, then. We'll press on. What did you think of the dining room?
I didn't go in there.
Ah. Clever stuff, eh? How about the little sunroom at the back? Or didn't you go in there either?
Oh, yes. Yes, I went in there.
Clever again.
Why?
There isn't one.
Are you're sure you're talking about the Bainbridges' house?
I'm positive.
I wonder what I'm talking about.
Anne's castle in the air, that's what. And I must confess, I don't understand her attitude at all, not at all. In fact, I find it rather wounding.
Oh, come now, tell me.
I don't know why she should be afraid to speak to me. I'm not an unreasonable man. I may occasionally get angry, but I'm no wife beater. Oh,
good heavens, no.
And quite apart from that, I don't see the point of it. She'll have to tackle me about it sooner or later.
Ah, yes, but then that is the point.
What?
Well, she wants to choose her moment. I mean, tackling a husband's rather like... there's no point in boiling your husband the moment he comes in.
Boiling him?
No. No point in bothering him. I mean, it's a perfectly sensible attitude. Your idea is just ridiculous.
My idea?
That Anne's afraid of you getting addled.
Afraid of me
Of you getting angry. You may occasionally lose your temper, but nobody in their right mind would describe you as an egg beater.
Oh, no, I'm not made that way.
Oh, of course you're not. Why, what did I say?
Egg beater.
Oh, wife beater, I mean. And you're not unreasonable either.
Well, I'd like to think not.
Quite the reverse. I know some husbands are pretty hard-boiled, but that certainly doesn't apply to you. You couldn't be more cracked.
Odd you should say that. I thought it was you.
No, you couldn't be more reasonable. And I'm sure Anne would say exactly the same.
Oh, I do hope not. I couldn't stand it all over again. I'm bewildered enough already. I don't know whether to crow or creep back into my coop.
Why, I can't believe it was all that difficult to understand.
Oh, my dear chap, completely unintelligible to the uninitiated. One long stream of farmyard innuendos. But at least one part of it came to roost. You can tell Anne from me she can say goodbye to her dream. An Englishman's home is his castle. This is mine, and I'm not moving. Now I'm going upstairs.
Oh, hello, darling. Going somewhere?
Upstairs. to put a comb through my feathers.
Feathers?
I cracked him the wrong way.
Oh, dear. Sticky.
Plain hard-boiled. But it wasn't my fault this time, you know. He has been round there.
What? To the Bainbridges?
Yes.
Nonsense. He was just testing you out.
No trees, low shrubs, an L-shaped drawing room, and no little sunroom. Right?
Right. I can't think when he was there.
I'm sorry, but there it is. I don't see what you can do about it.
Let him simmer for a few days, then have another crack.
And supposing they sell the house in the meantime?
I doubt if they will. They're asking too much money. And if they do, well...
Bang goes your dream.
Bang goes my dream. Still, I can hardly stop them Just a second, though. I've got an idea.
Honestly, you're about as bad as Zoe. She's always getting ideas.
A way to stop the sale of the house. Delay it, anyway.
Well, I'd like to know how.
I'm going to tell you. They're asking £6,000.
Gosh.
They won't get it, of course. And I doubt if they expect to. But Mrs. Bainbridge is a proper Scrooge.
Would loves her money bags.
More than anything else in the world. And that brings me to the idea. Supposing somebody went round to see the house. Somebody she thought might be gullible enough to pay $6,000.
Now, who could you possibly have in mind?
She wouldn't think of selling to anybody else until you finally decided.
I have decided, and I'm another dream you'll have to say goodbye to. In other words, no.
You look over it, enthuse over it, imply that you think the price is reasonable, and say that you'll bring your wife round later. Now, what could be simpler than that?
Nothing. I suppose even I couldn't... My wife... Oh, no. No, I'm not going to say I'm married. It's much too complicated.
All right, then. Say you're about to get married.
No, look, there's another snag. She'd never believe I wanted a place that size.
It's not all that large. Only 4 bedrooms. You will do it, won't you? I'm so sick of this house. I've been sick of it for years. And given time, I'm sure I could persuade Tony.
No use arguing with a woman. Let me see. Tomorrow's Saturday. I'll ring up in the morning and fix it up.
A sister couldn't ask for a nicer brother. You know what to do.
Look over it, enthuse over it, look gormless, imply that I'm gullible enough to think the price reasonable.
And say that you'll bring your fiancé around in a few days' time. Oh, we'll have to think of another name for you.
Why?
There's always a chance of her mentioning it to Tony.
You're not only as bad as Zoe, your ideas are exactly the same. She's talked me into changing my name so often, I've almost forgotten what it is.
Blythe.
Blythe?
David Blythe. You couldn't get that muddled. Oh, while we're on the subject of muddling names, it's Mrs. Bainbridge.
Not Mrs. Scrooge.
Good morning.
Good morning. I phoned earlier on.
Oh, yes, of course. You must be Mr. Blythe.
Yes, and you must be Mrs. Moneybags.
Mrs. who?
Bainbridge. It's awfully nice of you to show me around.
Not at all. Come in.
Thank you. I love your garden.
It's beautiful in summer.
I love your hall, too.
It is quite pleasant. Shall we start upstairs? Mr. Blythe.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was still admiring your hall. By the way, Mrs. Bainbridge, I hope you won't mind my asking, only, I'm a bit shy about this sort of thing, but I don't know the price.
£6,000.
£6,000?
Yes.
Well, I must say, that seems very gullible. £6,000?
Yes.
Well, having seen round it, I must admit, I'm surprised. It's terribly reasonable.
When do you think you could bring your fiancée around?
That's a bit difficult. She's away at the moment, and she won't be back till sometime next week. I do hope it won't be sold by then.
I've got several other offers. Still, I'd like to feel I'd helped a young couple on the threshold of their life together.
Well, I say that's jolly kind of you.
Yes, but then that's my philosophy. I really believe one profits by kindness.
Yes, and what a profit. Profit. prophetic remark.
May I ask the lucky girl's name?
Name? Oh, Zoe. Zoe Hunter.
Zoe Hunter. Now, where have I... the telephone. Excuse me. Hello? Would you hold on a moment? Mr. Blythe, I wonder if you'd mind letting yourself out.
Oh, not a bit.
Goodbye. Delighted to have met you. and I'll be hearing from you.
About the middle of next week. Goodbye, Mrs. Moneybags. Mrs. Bainbridge, I'll give you a ring.
Hello?
Mrs. Bainbridge?
Speaking.
This is Tony Fellows.
An Englishman's home is his castle. This is his, and what's his has got to be mine.
Is that what Tony said?
Last night, when I tackled him about it. And you know, when I likened it to the boiling of an egg, I was wrong.
Were you?
Hopelessly wrong. Husbands are about as unpredictable as, well, souffles. You can be successful with them 9 times out of 10. But when it comes to a special occasion, they're suddenly flat and heavy.
Well, I shouldn't give up hope yet.
When did you arrange to take your fiancé around?
The middle of this week.
Oh, and today's Thursday. Bang goes my dream. Oh, well, it can't be helped. I must go and put Carol to bed.
Oh, I'm sorry, Anne.
Not your fault. Oh, here's Tony. Hello, darling.
Hello, dear.
I'm just going to put Carol's light out.
You're right. Hello, David, old man.
Hello, Tony. Had a good day at the office?
Oh, not too bad, you know. David?
Yes?
Has Anne said anything more to you about the Bainbridges' house?
Well, no, not really.
I see. She has. Suppose she thinks I'm being hard-boiled about it.
Well, she couldn't possibly think that. As I said to her only the other day.
Said what?
That might apply to some husbands, but certainly not to you. You couldn't be a more easygoing souffle.
Made with the egg beater, I suppose.
No, you couldn't be a flatter husband. Couldn't be heavier going. Easier.
Oh, for heaven's sake, it's plain enough what Anne's been saying, and it's a bit unfair considering I made an offer for the... Oh, well. There's no harm in your knowing now. I tried to buy the confounded place.
You did?
Offered 4,500, intimated I'd go a little bit higher. And it might have come off, too.
Oh, gosh, I see it all now. That's how you knew what the inside was like.
Yeah, I'd been round there the day before.
But why on earth didn't you tell Anne?
I didn't want to build up her hopes. And anyway, I wanted to keep it as a surprise. I nearly told her last night. Well, I thought I'd hang on a bit longer. Do you know what happened?
No, what?
Mrs. Bainbridge has found some buffoon who's willing to pay 6,000, believe it.
I believe it.
It's more than I did at first. But she mentioned the chap's name, Blythe, or something like that.
Well, that's right, David Blythe.
Why, do you know him?
Oh, yes. Yes, I know him.
Is he a friend of yours?
In a way, yes.
Amazing coincidence, you know him. Well, what's he like?
What's he like? Oh, he's quite a charming chap, and, terribly good-looking.
But a bit of a clot.
Oh, serves me right. Oh, you may be right. I know some people think so.
Oh, me for one.
Oh, definitely. Definitely bad luck on you. But then you never know. He might not buy it after all.
No, that's my only chance.
A jolly good one, though.
What makes you say that? Have you seen him lately?
Frequently.
And you talked to him about the house?
Oh, yes. We had quite a long chat with myself. I had quite a long chat, and do you know what? Huh? He's practically decided against it.
He has?
Yes.
Oh, David, old boy. I know I've criticized you in the past, and I make no promises for the future. But at this moment, oh, you're a splendid fellow. That's the best news I've had in ages. It's terrific news. But look, not a word to Anne. He might change his mind again.
I doubt it.
Oh.
Carol says, would Daddy please read her a fairy story?
Daddy'll be only too delighted to read her as many as she likes.
For goodness sake, don't tell her that. One and only one.
Righto.
If Daddy wants to read any more, he can bring the book in here.
I might do that.
Daddy's in a very good mood.
Well, Daddy's just heard some news about the house he's buying.
News about...
The Bainbridge's house. He's been trying to buy it all the time.
You're joking.
I'm not, you know.
Why didn't he tell me?
Well, he wants it to be a surprise. Well, I suppose I shouldn't have said anything, really.
That's all right, but he mustn't know you told me.
Well, no, of course not. Yeah, apparently, there's only one thing in the way.
What's that?
Some buffoon who's willing to pay the full price.
You?
Me. But don't worry, I'll get out of the way first thing tomorrow morning.
Do you know, I still don't believe it. Not even now.
Believe what?
That my dream house has come true.
Hello, Anne.
Oh, so it's you, Poppet. Come along in.
Well, I thought I'd pop round and see if there was any news about the house.
You're always welcome. And this morning, particularly welcome.
I say, that's jolly nice. I'll... Particularly?
Particularly?
Oh, no. What this time?
Go on. In you go. Tony's gone down to the office.
What, on Saturday?
Just to look through the letters, that's all. You've just got to help me.
I know I have, but what?
I'm expecting Tony back at any minute. I'm also expecting a delivery van, and the twain must never meet.
Why? What's the van delivering? Something you've bought that Tony doesn't know about?
A whole host of things he doesn't know about. Things for the new house.
Oh, gosh, so he has bought it then?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Well, no, not officially. He still hasn't said a word to me.
Yet you've bought a whole host of things?
Yes.
Anne, whatever possessed you?
I'd never get a man to understand. I could explain it to a woman in 5 short words.
Well, try them on me.
There was a sale on.
Come now, that's no excuse. You must have had a brainstorm.
You've got to get Tony out of the house and keep him out till lunchtime. I'll hide the things. They won't send the bill until the end of the month, and by that time, we'll know one way or the other.
Well, how am I going to get him out?
Suggest a game of golf, anything.
I don't play golf.
You could caddy for him?
Oh, no, never again. Not after what happened last time at the 18th hole. He took a terrific swing with his club.
And missed the ball altogether?
He wasn't aiming at the ball. Goff's out.
I know. Did you come in your car?
The office car, yes.
Take him out for a drive. You're not too happy about the engine, so you want his expert advice. He'll be terribly flattered.
But there's nothing wrong with the engine.
Never mind. You'll soon find something.
That's true enough. Now tell me about your brainstorm. I take it you bought some really lovely things.
Well, of course not. I've told you it was a sale.
No bargains?
I did get a roll of carpet, but I'm not too happy about it. I've got an awful feeling the colour's going to clash. Still, it was awfully cheap. Oh, there's Tony now. Bustle him out as quickly as possible. The delivery van's likely to arrive at any moment.
He's as good as bustled.
In here, darling.
I only hope he doesn't start tinkering about with it. After all, it's the office car, not mine.
Anne, darling, I've... Oh, hello there, David.
Hello, Tony.
I shouldn't take your coat off, darling. David wants to take you out, don't you, David?
Well, yes, that's if you can spare the time. I'd like your advice on the office van.
Office van?
On the delivery office.
Office car.
Yes, on the office car. I'm not too happy about the carpet. About the noise under the carpet in front.
Carpet in that car?
Well, under the matting, then. It sounds very odd to me.
How do you think it sounds to me?
You haven't heard it yet?
You missed the point, but never mind. You were saying?
Well, I'd like to drive you out of the house. To take you out for a quick drive. But I'm sure there's something wrong with the old bustle. Old bus.
I'm sure you're feeling all right.
Perfectly. Why?
Why, I thought perhaps you'd had a brainstorm.
Oh, no, that was Anne. That was another thing. I keep on getting a terrible knocking noise.
I'm not surprised. Still, I think I can diagnose your trouble. Let me see. Office van, delivery office, delivery van, carpet.
I must go and get on with my work.
Anne.
Yes, dear?
Come back.
Yes, dear?
Carpet for the new house.
New house? What new house?
Very good, darling. The one I paid the deposit on this morning. It's ours.
Gosh, really?
It is?
Yes, it's ours.
Oh, Tony, darling, you're the most wonderful husband in the world.
A good egg, in fact.
Double yolked.
And about as nice a souffle as you could hope to meet.
Can we afford to buy it?
Good heavens, no, but it's a nice house.
Beautiful, that kitchen.
The shape of the hall.
The L-shaped drawing room. And I got it for $4,750.
Really?
Yes, really.
I must say, that seems very gullible.
Gullible?
It's all right, I'm only joking.
I think I did rather well over the price.
Oh, good gracious, yes. Terribly gormless.
The removal van's due here at 2:30.
Well, only 10 minutes to go.
And chaos reigns supreme. I thought you were going to tie up that packing case for me. I gave you a piece of rope for it.
Yes, I know, but Psyche mistook it for a lead.
So?
Well, she keeps on taking it to the front door.
Look, David, old boy, there's a lot to be done.
Oh, all right, I'll see to it. Do you think we'll be ready in time?
Not a dog's chance.
No, not you.
Look, I'm going upstairs to start bringing some of the... Oh, for the love of Mike, don't tell me they're here already.
Tony!
Yes?
Front door!
Yes, all right.
It's probably Zoe, Tony. Yeah, now then, Psyche, come on, give it to me. I've got to tie this box up. Psyche, come back.
Hello there, where are you off to, eh?
Yeah, take it away from her, would you, Zoe?
Come on then, give it to me. That's right. A good girl. Here, you are, darling.
Oh, thanks. I've been trying to get this thing tied up for the last...
What, no kiss for your future bride?
Oh, sorry, darling. There. If I don't get it done soon, Tony's going to be... future bride?
I've heard all about it.
All about what?
Her engagement. Mummy heard it from a friend of Mrs. Bainbridge's.
Oh, good gracious, I'd forgotten. I didn't tell you about that, did I?
No, you didn't. But it's all right. You don't have to explain. I understand.
Understand what?
That you were too shy to propose to me. And there's no need to now. Do you know why?
Why?
Because I accept.
Oh, no. Just a second, Zoe.
I know just what you're going to ask me to name the day.
Yeah, Zoe, there has been a terrible misunderstanding.
No, there hasn't.
But there has.
I was teasing.
David, old man, could you give me a hand? Oh, good heavens, haven't you done that yet?
Oh, yeah, won't take me a second. Where did I put that rope?
Yeah, Psyche, come back here. It's all right, I've got another piece here. I'll do it myself.
Tony?
Yes?
I can't do any more upstairs until you... Oh, hello, Zoe.
Hello.
Until I've what?
Brought some of the things down.
Oh, I'll go and bring them down.
Well, I'll come and help you.
I wouldn't want to move every day, would you?
I wish we weren't moving.
Devil of a job getting everything packed up. Wish we weren't.
I know it's silly, but so much has happened here. The house is so full of memories. Happy memories, too. This is our home, Tony.
Yes, and the other one's our new home.
I hate the thought of leaving here.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Anne, it's a bit late to say that now, isn't it?
There's no need to lose your temper. I know it's silly.
I said it was silly. Oh,
darling. Now, don't cry.
I'm not crying.
Anne, is it all right to bring those cases down?
Yes.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Oh, she's a bit upset about going.
I've been so happy in this house.
Please, Anne, don't cry. Think of that kitchen.
The shape of the hall.
The L-shaped drawing room.
The little sunroom at the back. Oh, no.
I can't help how I feel.
Oh, come on, darling. Here, have my handkerchief.
Yeah, have mine, too.
Oh, dear, that'll be the confounded removal van. It's all right, I'll go.
Oh, come on, Anne, buck up. I don't want to be selfish about this, but I've been through quite a lot recently. I'd hate to feel I'd done it all for nothing.
I deserve that. It's not like me to cry. Ah, I'm sorry.
Well, don't be silly. It's natural enough. After all, when you've lived in a house for years, moving's bound to be...
What?
Well, moving.
In A Life of Bliss this week, the artists taking part were David Bliss, George Cole, Anne Fellows, Diana Churchill, Tony Fellows, Colin Gordon, Psyche the dog, Percy Edwards, Zoe Hunter, Sheila Sweet, Mrs. Bainbridge, Una Venning. This recorded program was written by Godfrey Harrison and produced by Leslie Bridgemont. A Life of Bliss was presented by the BBC. The BBC presents A Life of Bliss. Being the biography of a bachelor, with Diana Churchill, Colin Gordon, Barry K. Barnes, Gwen Cheryl, Terence Alexander, Nan Kenway, and Percy Edwards. Another chapter in the life of that shy young man, David Alexander Bliss, known to us as George Cole. Scene, the house of his sister Anne and brother-in-law Tony. Chapter entitled, United They Stay.
Maynard Phillimore.
Maynard Phillimore? Sounds very impressive. Who is he, David?
Well, for the next few weeks, my general manager. He's been sent down by head office to take over till old Hood gets back.
Oh, yes, of course, you told us. He's ill at the moment, isn't he?
Yes, with jaundice.
Poor old lad. How is he now?
According to Mrs. Hood on the phone yesterday, making excellent progress.
Oh, good.
Temperature almost normal, but he was complaining of a terrible headache.
Why, what was he saying about you?
I might have guessed that was coming.
Pop it. I seem to remember last time he was ill, they made you general manager.
That's right, for a whole month.
What stopped them doing the same thing this time?
At a guess, last time.
Actually, I know the reason. I had a letter about it.
What, from head office?
Yes, jolly nice one, too. They feel I've got enough to do running the branch office because, and here I quote from memory, the volume of business has increased substantially since your inception, a fact noted here with some satisfaction.
Good for you.
Very good. But you know, I can never understand why you businessmen can't use simple words.
People might get the idea that our job was simple.
At least that's honest. Who's going to finish up my nice apple pie?
No more for me.
Or me. I've had a wonderful lunch.
Shall I give it to Psyche?
Well, dogs shouldn't have sweet things, really. Still, just this once.
You think she'll like it?
Oh, good gracious, yes. She'll eat anything.
That's not very complimentary to my cooking. Psyche. I've got something for you. There. I'll go and get the coffee. You're in a hurry to get back, aren't you, Poppy? David?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I am, but not enough to miss coffee.
Oh, right.
You know, I was just thinking, it's odd how one's attitude towards people changes.
Good gracious, what prompted that?
Well, talking about the last time old Hood was ill. It's only a year or so ago, yet I remember being, well, almost glad in a way.
Of the respite?
Exactly. Mm. I was terrified of him in those days, and I didn't understand him at all.
But now?
I'm still terrified, but I understand him better. Now, I've got a feeling he understands me a little better, too.
Oh, it goes without saying.
Do you really think so?
Definitely.
Well, that's nice to hear.
Study it for long enough, and even Greek becomes intelligible.
Seriously, though, having started off so badly, it does seem odd that we've, well, grown together.
Oh, not really, you know. Time mellows.
Well, that's true enough.
And despite what they say, familiarity breeds contempt.
Well, I say that's rather neat.
Yes, I thought so.
That goes without saying.
Oh, getting your own back, eh?
Well, definitely. Mind you, you're right.
That goes without saying.
Oh, for instance...
Let's get away from the table and sit in comfort.
Oh, all right. Oh, but take Zoe, for instance.
Zoe?
Well, let's face it, I've known her for quite a time now.
So?
Well, I'm familiar with her.
Well, I doubt it, knowing you.
Doubt what?
If you're familiar.
Well, that doesn't make sense, surely.
Why?
Well, how can you possibly know someone for a long time without getting familiar?
I don't know, but you've managed it for years.
Well, I haven't known her that long.
Look, David, old boy, when you talk about being... Oh, never mind, I know what you meant. And I know what you were going to say.
What?
That you enjoyed going out with each other before, but now you have the added pleasure of feeling, well, at home together.
Well, I couldn't have put it better myself.
That goes without saying.
It sounds a bit dull, I suppose, but that's exactly how I feel, at home with her.
Dull, perhaps, but there's nothing more comforting or human. On a bitter winter's day, we turn up our overcoat collars and clutch them to our throats.
And the connection?
Well, in a cold, hard world, we cling to the familiar.
Quite a speech.
No, it comes of having a heavy lunch.
I shouldn't let Anne hear you say that. Mind you, you're right again. It's true in so many ways. Not only of the old familiar faces.
Old places, too.
Old things.
Even of wives.
Wives?
And husbands. The secret, in fact, of a successful marriage.
What, familiarity?
Or companionship, call it what you will.
No, I suppose love doesn't come into it at all.
Oh, yes, love comes into it. But I'm talking about, well, after it's left.
Oh, come now, Tony, that hardly applies to you and Anne.
You're as much in love now as you ever were.
Yes. But you go through various stages, you know. After all, marriage is like, well, how can I put it? Well, like making a fire. It's bound to burst into flames the moment it's lit, but that's the dangerous stage. If it's not made properly, it goes out. On the other hand, if it stays alight, it soon roars into life and burns brightly on. Until finally, and perhaps most pleasant of all, you're left with a nice, warm glow.
Beautifully put. Now tell me what it meant.
Put it down to the lunch.
Here we are, darling. I'll need that small table.
Oh, right, I'll bring it over for you.
Thank you. What have you been talking about?
Familiarity breeding content. Old faces and places.
Old things, and even old Anne.
Oh.
Old Anne?
Even an old wife. Even old wives.
Tony?
Yes, dear?
What have you been saying?
Well, if you must know that marriage is like making a fire.
If it's not made properly, it soon goes out.
Now, but once a light, as in our case, it burns brightly on.
Until finally you're left with a dying ember.
So Tony said I was a dying ember.
Tony said nothing of the sort. There's one thing about it. Our marriage must be successful.
Why?
To have withstood the ravages of David.
There's something in that.
How did you come to be talking about it?
Well, it started with old Hood, oddly enough.
What's this new chap like? Maynard...
Fillmore. Mm. I haven't seen him yet. He only turned up yesterday.
I thought Hood had been away for a week.
Yes, but the general manager's chair has been vacant.
You'll have to be going soon.
No, bags of time, yes.
Why the hurry?
Well, I've been summoned to meet him.
Who, Fillmore?
Yes. Huh? Still, judging by what I've heard, he's a fairly decent chap. So is old Hood, of course, but he's the old-fashioned disciplinarian. I gather Fillmore's quite the reverse.
In what way?
Oh, hates any formalities. Proved that the moment he arrived, apparently.
How?
Called his secretary by her Christian name. Invented a nickname for the office boy. Stopped to have a chat with old Potter. Told
Who's
him a...
Potter?
One of the clerks.
Oh.
Told him a joke and ended up by slapping him on the back.
Oh, dear.
Why, oh, dear?
Well, take my tip. Tread warily. You get the type of boss who acts like one of the boys, but just let one of the boys get out of line.
And then?
One less boy. Believe me, a treacherous character.
You wouldn't by any chance be jumping to conclusions.
No, I could be wrong, easily, but I know the type only too well, or rather the species. At first sight appears friendly, but that ready smile has much in common with the laugh of the hyena. Liable to pounce at any moment and found quite extensively in the business jungle. Beware, this animal is dangerous.
Well, not only a heavy lunch, indigestible as well.
What was that?
No, I was only joking.
I should jolly well hope so.
I'm sure you're wrong about him, Tony. What do you think, Anne?
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Don't worry, we're only teasing. I've just noticed, isn't that a new suit?
Tailor-made. I picked the cloth out myself. Do you like it?
Very much, don't you, Tony?
Let's have a look. Nice bit of stuff. Good cut, too.
Yeah, it seems a bit on the big side, but and I don't mind that myself. I like them loose.
I think you look very smart.
I think I look like a tailor's dummy.
Yes, but the suit's smart.
That's something.
I'm sure Mr. Fillmore will be most impressed.
Well, according to you and Tony, I ought to be in tropical kit.
Tropical kit?
Well, I'm off to the business jungle. I must be off now, too.
I thought you said you had bags of time.
Yes, but let's face it. If you're right, if, like the hyena, he's likely to pounce...
You're the most likely victim.
That goes without saying.
Yeah. Come in.
Good afternoon, sir.
Bliss?
Yes.
Maynard Fillmore.
How do you do?
Yeah, don't stand on ceremony, old boy. Park yourself down. Help yourself to a cigarette.
No, thank you, sir. I don't smoke.
You can cut out all that sir nonsense, too. My name's Maynard. Yours?
Bliss.
Christian name.
Maynard. David.
Yes. So it says here. Don't hold with all this card indexing stuff himself. Still, let's have a deco. Now, David Bliss. So far, so good. Manager, Farley Road Branch. Secretary, Marcia Hammond. Oh, any good?
Who? Marcia? Oh, very good.
Not too good, I hope.
Well, excellent.
From what angle?
Well, every angle.
Oh, I see what you mean. Nice bit of stuff, eh?
Nice bit of... Oh, well, yes, I picked it out myself.
Yes. Yes, I bet you did.
Tailor-made.
All the right measurements, eh?
Well, a bit on the big side, actually. Then I don't mind that myself.
I like them loose.
Well, there's nothing like admitting it.
Well, not as loose as all that, but I like to feel free to move.
Oh. I mean, don't we all?
I must say, I think it's well cut.
Well cut?
Well, I don't think it's as bad as all that.
I think we're at cross purposes. I'm talking about your secretary.
About my secretary?
What were you talking about?
My tropical kit.
Shoot. Well, how did your tropical kit get into it?
I must be feeling the heat.
Well, don't tell me you're nervous.
Well, naturally.
Naturally? Why?
Well, meeting you for the first time. After all, you are the jungle manager.
Jungle?
the business hyena. laughing general. General manager.
Have you been drinking, old boy?
I don't drink.
You don't?
No.
Well, I should start. You never know. It might help. Right. Now down to work. I've got a file of yours here. A bloke called Jarvis owes us a lot of lolly. To be precise, £3,000.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, it's been owing for 6 months. Won't do, old boy. Won't do. You'd better send him the usual little chitty. Our money or your life. Give him till the end of the month.
Well, I doubt if he'll be able to manage it by then. He's having rather a difficult time at the moment.
Yes, well, if he doesn't cough up, we'll have to go for him.
Well, I'm sure he'll pay as soon as he can. He's never let us down before.
There's a first time for everything.
Look, sir, I've already had a word with Mr. Hood about it.
No, Hood's away at the moment, please.
Sorry.
Well, only pulling your leg, of course. You leave old Hood to me. Used to work with him years ago, you know, at head office. Do you know what we christened him? The old Growler, aptly named, eh?
I get on rather well with him myself.
Yeah, it's the first time for everything.
Yeah, about Mr. Jarvis.
Well, we've settled all that. Here, take the file. Afraid I'll have to boot you out now, boy. Cheerio, boy. Nice to have met you.
Goodbye, sir.
David?
Yes, sir?
You must let me know the name of your tailor.
Hello, Marcia.
Oh, hello, boss. Did you see the GM?
GM?
General manager.
Oh, yes, I did. I never get used to this awful initial habit. Any messages?
Nothing important. What did you think?
About what?
The new GM.
A real M-E.
M-E?
Man-eater. There can't be a law of the jungle, otherwise he'd have been shot years ago.
That awful?
Unspeakable.
Oh, dear. What's that? The Jarvis file?
Yes. Oh, well, might as well get it over. Come into my office, will you?
Get what over?
Fillimore's orders. I've got to send him the usual little chitty.
The usual little chitty?
Yes, you know, stand and deliver. Your money or your life. His money or our... Oh, never mind.
Whatever's the matter?
Nothing's the matter.
Nonsense, of course there is. You're not normally as bad as this. I'm only teasing.
Well, let's go into my office. You'll switch the phone through.
Already switched.
And bring your shorthand book.
Already in hand, literally. See?
Sit down, Marcia.
Yes, all right.
Take a letter to...
David.
What?
There is something wrong.
Well, I'm naturally sorry for the old boy.
What old boy?
Old Jarvis boy. Old Dick Jarvis.
What about him?
Oh, for heaven's sake, I told you. I've got to send him the usual little chitty.
Look, I don't want to be difficult, but you'll still have to explain. I didn't follow after that.
Follow what?
Well, I don't really know... Dick Turpin.
What are you talking about?
Stand and deliver. I don't see what that's got to do with the... Oh. Not dear sir, unless...
By the end of the month.
But why? He's such a sweet old man. Besides, he's owed us money before lots of times. He's always paid up in the end.
Well, it's Fillimore's idea, not mine. I tried to argue with him, but he just wouldn't listen. I'm as fond of old Jarvis as you are, but what can I do about it?
Put up a fight.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
Is it?
Well, completely, and for a pretty obvious reason.
He's the GM, and you're DW.
DW?
Dead Windy.
Honestly, I wish you'd stop using all the... Dead Windy?
Well, aren't you?
Oh, now, look, Marcia, you're going too far, much too far. Now, take a chitty. Take a letter. To Richard Turpin, Esquire. You can get the address from Richard Jarvis. You can get the address from the file.
I know it.
All right, now, let me see. Dear sir. Dear sir.
Unless?
Marcia, there's nothing I can do about it. I'd only be tilting at windmills. And I'm not cut out to be a Don Quixote.
Dear sir.
All right, you win.
You'll fight?
I'll tilt.
I knew you would. Oh, phone. Try answering.
No, it's all right, I will. Hello? Don Quixote here.
Who?
David Bliss.
Maynard Fillimore.
Oh, hello, sir.
About that Jarvis letter. No hurry, of course, but I'd like you to get it off as soon as possible.
Oh, yes, of course, sir. As a matter of fact, I'm just tilting it now. You're just dictating it now.
I see. Well, when you do send it off, send me a copy too, will you? Oh, and by the way, how did Don Quixote get into it?
I can't understand why I said that.
No, neither can I. I take it you understood what I said.
Oh, yes, perfectly. Get the letter off as soon as possible, and when I do, send you a windmill.
Windmill?
Copy.
Listen, old boy, a friendly warning. I don't like using the big stick, but I can if pressed. Cheerio.
Goodbye.
Dear sir.
All right, I know what you're thinking, but you're wrong. I wasn't DW. I was just unprepared. You don't go into battle without a plan.
I thought of one without the battle.
Well, what's that?
It's simple. Don't send the letter. Just tell him you have.
Well, that's not a plan. That's plain stupid. This is business, not some sort of a game.
Can you think of a better one?
Yes, much better. I'm going round to see the OG.
OG?
The old growler. In other words, old Hood. Oh, gosh, I'm sorry, I was forgetting.
Forgetting what? That he's my uncle? Oh, it doesn't matter. I think the plan's excellent.
Oh, jolly good. Let me see, what time is it? Well, I might as well knock off and go round early. Cheerio, Marcia.
Bye, boss. Oh, boss?
Yes?
Give my love to the old growler.
All right, just coming.
Hello, Mrs. Hood.
Oh, hello, David. Come in.
Thank you. Now, how's the invalid today?
Better.
Oh, good. Yeah, has he still got a temperature?
Oh, only slight. It's down to 99 now.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes, but believe me, if nuisance value could be measured in degrees, he'd be at least 109.
I'm sure you don't mean that.
David, if you knew how many times today he's had me running up and down those stairs, you'd know I was in no condition to make jokes. I'm expected to be housewife, wet nurse, nursing sister, and escalator all rolled into one.
It must be tiring.
I'm sorry if I sounded a little distraught, but he's such a baby when he's ill.
I think most men are.
Yes, but some babies are more difficult than others. Some are little demons, and I've got a full-sized edition up there.
Why, I still think we're all about as bad.
I'll see you when you come down.
Yes, all right. You with this one?
Yes, yes.
Who is it?
David Bliss.
Oh, good heavens. Come in.
Oh, hello, sir. And how's the demon today? How's the baby today? How's the little invalid? How are you feeling?
Much worse now.
Seriously, how are you feeling?
Oh, not too bad, you know, apart from the headache. Slight temperature, that's all.
Yes, I know, it's wonderful.
Wonderful?
But your temperature's 109.
109?
99. If you go on at this rate, you'll soon be your normal nuisance. Your normal self.
I take it Mrs. Hood told you it was all right to come up here.
Well, yes.
That's grounds for divorce. Mental cruelty. Ah, well, it's nice to see you, David.
It's nice to see you, sir.
And how are things at the office?
Well, to tell you the truth, there's something I want to talk to you about. I know this is hardly the moment, but it happens to be urgent.
Go ahead.
Well, it's about old Dick Jarvis. I don't know if you remember the position, but I mentioned it once before.
Jarvis, £3,000, company investment, repayable August the 16th last year. About 6 months ago.
Oh, you do remember it.
Vaguely. Under trouble?
Mr. Fillimore says I'm only to give him till the end of the month to pay up.
Oh, does he indeed?
Yes, and I'm not only supposed to be sending off a letter, I've got to send him a copy as well.
I see.
I'm quite prepared to do battle, but I don't really see where it would get us.
Out on our ears, the pair of us.
Well, me, perhaps, but not you.
Oh, that's just where you're wrong. He's more interested in my job than yours. And this is his first move, a cunning one at that. It wouldn't look too good at head office.
Why?
Oh, for the love of Mike, why do you think? Use your head, man.
Well, I still don't see...
Oh, never mind. We'll use mine. It's quicker. If Jarvis goes broke, I've made an error of judgment in trusting him.
Oh, dear, yes, I see it now. What on earth can we do?
Simple. Send him his copy. Don't send the letter, but tell him you have.
Good gracious.
What?
Well, that was Marcia's game. Yeah, Marcia's idea.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, she had the same stupid plan. Oh, not that it is stupid, but well, it does seem...
More like a game than business.
Yes.
Ah, well, that's where you're wrong again. Business is a game. And in all games, you get the type of person who's determined to win at all costs, even if it costs somebody else's job.
Oh, gosh, I think that's a terrible trick.
Aye, and it's not going to be easy to trump it. He's holding all the cards. Only one thing to do. Play for time.
Send him his copy. Don't send the letter. But tell him I have.
Aye, and don't tell anybody else anything. Not a soul. Not even Marcia. Keep it entirely to yourself. Do you understand?
Understood. I know exactly what she'll think. That I'm D.W. again.
D.W.?
You're dead windy. She started this awful initial habit, and it seems to be catching. Oh, by the way, she sent her love to the O.G.
O.G.?
The old... I forget what the G stood for now. Let me think.
I can only think of Growler.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something else. I know it wasn't that.
Well, I know it was, and I know who you got it from.
Who?
Old Full of Gas. What else did he tell you about it?
Nothing, really. Only that you worked Full of Gas.
Yeah, that's what we used to call him.
Aptly named.
Aye, very. He's a real WB.
WB?
A windbag.
Have your medicine, dear.
Oh, is it?
Well, time I was going, too.
Well, it was nice of you to come round and see me. Cheerio, David.
Cheerio, sir. Morning, Marcia.
Oh, morning, boss. I'm dying to know. What did Mr. Hood say last night?
Look, Marcia, I know what you're going to think, but I didn't go around and see him after all. I changed my mind. And my mind about the letter. I'm going to send it.
Oh.
I know how you feel about it, but there's just one thing you're forgetting. I've got to look after number one, and I'm not going to lose my job for anybody. I'll take a letter to Richard Jarvis. Copy to Mr. Fillmore.
Yes, all right. And as soon as I've typed them, as they're rather important, would you like me to go out and post them for you?
I don't think that'll be necessary.
I thought not. So my plan's been accepted after all.
Oh, gosh, how on earth did you guess? What did I do to give myself away?
Nothing. In fact, you did rather well. You sounded completely selfish and really rather nasty. That's what gave you away.
What?
It didn't sound a bit like you. Top copy into the waste paper basket.
Bottom copy to old Full of Gas. That's what they used to call him at head office.
No.
Mr. Hood told me.
Oh, I wish he hadn't. Now you know it, I can see what's going to happen.
Ah, I can see the danger, but I think I can avert it better than most. But then I have the advantage of being unpopular.
Meaning?
I'm allowed to call him sir, and that's what I'm going to stick to. Sir, plain sir. Safer. Right, now to the letter. Dear Plain.
Dear sir.
Unless...
Come in.
Good morning, sir.
Oh, hello, Bliss. I suppose you know why I've sent for you.
Yes, sir. No reply, sir. From Mr. Jarvis, sir.
Yes, and the letter went off 12 days ago. Always provided you sent it.
Well, definitely, sir.
Then it seems odd not to have had a reply. Of course, it might have got lost in the post.
Ah, it's funny you saying that, sir. I was just going to suggest it myself. And I'm sure you're right.
How the devil can you be sure?
Oh, not absolutely sure, but I think it's a distinct possibility. I mean, letters do get lost in the basket. do get wasted in the paper. Get thrown away in the post.
Lost?
Yeah, lost in the post. So, why not this one?
Well, I think it's a distinct possibility.
Oh, gracious, dear.
Yes, and for that reason, I'm not taking any more risks. From now on, we'll rely on the telephone.
Well, I've lost numbers before now. Joking.
I want Jarvis in your office at 11:30 tomorrow morning, Bliss. That's all.
But
no buts. 11:30, or I put the matter in the hands of our solicitors. That's all, Bliss.
Yes, sir.
Bliss.
Yes, sir?
Call me sir if you must, but not after every confounded comma. Clear?
Perfectly. Bye, Mr. Full of Gas. Out of work.
David, not sacked.
Sacked.
When did it happen?
At 11:30, tomorrow morning.
Then it hasn't happened.
No, but it's inevitable.
Why?
I told Fillmore I'd sent a letter, but I hadn't. Now I've got to produce the man who never got it so that they can discuss it. If you see what I mean.
Just, and I'm proud of myself.
He's such a jolly nice old boy, too.
The man who never got the letter?
Yes.
Wouldn't it help to have a name?
Richard Jarvis. Old Dick Jarvis to his friends. Quite a character. 70-odd and still as lively as a cricket.
Couldn't you explain the story to him?
Well, much too involved. And I can't ask old Hood's advice either. He's away convalescing. 11:30 tomorrow, out of work.
Unless you could produce another Richard Jarvis.
No, that's a very good idea. I'll go through the phone book and pick one out at random.
I've got a better idea. Persuading somebody to change his name.
Well, I'd like to know who. Nobody be silly enough.
You've changed yours often enough?
Yes, but I'm silly enough.
And now it's Tony's turn to change.
Tony? He'd never do it.
He might. There he is. We'll soon see. We're in here, Richard.
Hi-ho.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Richard. Jarvis.
And you're such a nice old boy.
You certainly look young for your age.
My age?
70-odd.
Would somebody mind explaining?
It may take quite a time, so I should go and take your coat off first.
All right.
Oh, Richard.
Yes?
Just testing.
And you passed with flying colors.
Tony!
Due here at 11:30 under the assumed name of Richard Jarvis.
Wow!
I never thought he'd do it, but he seemed to think it might be fun. We've arranged what he's going to say. In fact, everything's fixed.
Ah, except that he doesn't look 70.
Oh, near enough. Yeah. Fillmore's never seen Jarvis, so it doesn't matter. Anyway, he doesn't think of him as a person, just a file. Time now? 11:25. Somebody in the outer office.
Good morning, Biz.
No, morning, sir. I won't be needing you, Marcia.
Oh, right, sir.
Did you ring Jarvis yesterday morning and arrange this meeting?
Yes, sir.
Sure?
Positive. Why?
I was introduced to him last night.
You were?
Discovered we were members of the same club. And he'd heard nothing of this meeting.
Mr. Jarvis.
Morning. Morning, Biz. Now, you must be Maynard Fillmore, huh? David here gave me a tinkle yesterday and suggested meeting so we could thrash this thing out.
I'll be in touch with you later on, Bliss.
Yes, sir. Something go wrong? Everything. And I know what's going to happen when he gets in touch with me, too.
What?
The inevitable. A check for £3,000, signed Richard Jarvis.
I don't believe it.
Seeing is believing, in this morning's Post. And you know what that means?
What?
I lost my job for nothing. Absolutely nothing. And to make it even more bitter, it has to arrive on my last day here.
Oh, that reminds me. The GM's on his way around.
And to make sure I don't take the filing cabinet with me. Oh, if only old Hood hadn't been away.
Morning, Bliss.
Mr. Hood, you're back.
Uh-huh. Marcia managed to keep a secret at last, eh?
You knew?
He was back. I'll back out.
Did you have a nice holiday, sir?
I haven't been on holiday. I've been up in London, contacting a few of my friends at head office. Pulling strings here, there, and everywhere. I won't bother you with details, Bliss, but I'll tell you the result. We've won. The battle's over. We stay, and he's being moved to a branch office that makes this one look like the Albert Hall.
Oh, gosh, that's wonderful news, sir. You know something? If business is a game, I'm glad I'm on your side.
I like you on my side.
Oh, honestly, I can hardly believe it. The battle's over.
Over.
And united we stay.
In A Life of Bliss this week, the artists taking part were David Bliss, George Cole, Anne Fellows, Diana Churchill, Tony Fellows, Colin Gordon, Psyche the dog, Percy Edwards, Mr. Hood, Barry K. Barnes, Mrs. Hood, Nan Kenway, Maynard Fillmore, Terence Alexander, and Marcia Hammond, Gwen Cheryl. This recorded program was written by Godfrey Harrison and produced by Leslie Bridgemont.
A Life of Bliss was presented by the BBC.